This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Quite the whirlwind for the San Diego State Aztecs. Think about this. The selection show on Sunday was at 3 p.m. They found out fairly early in the show that they were going to the first four. For about an hour, Dutch thought his game was on Wednesday until he was told, no, it's Tuesday.
Yeah, Paulie had a buddy that booked a flight to Dayton immediately after they found out, and they said the game was Wednesday, and so he's like, done. I'm going to go see my guys fly out.
I went to Go Aztecs on Instagram. It said there's a graphic, dancing, whatever. Wednesday.
Bought the tickets. And then get the hotel room.
At the end of the selection show, they mentioned something about the Aztecs on Tuesday, and one of my other friends was like, did they just say we're playing on Tuesday now?
Oh,
and my buddy's
God.
Like, well, got to change those flights and get everything flipped around.
Why'd they do that? Was it a mistake? Or
so it's never been this way before. So they've always had, you know, two of the first four games on Tuesday and then two of them on Wednesday. And the Tuesday games then would go play Thursday in the NCAA tournament. And the Wednesday winners would play on Friday.
Right.
And since the Aztecs saw that their next game, if they won, would be on Friday, they assumed, like the rest of us, that, well, we must be the Wednesday game because we're going to Friday. But they didn't notice that the other game in the first four also went to Friday. So in the end, they had to pick one of the two Friday games to move up to Tuesday, and they picked San Diego State, North Carolina to be the Tuesday game. So it's never happened that way before. But, just a little bit of assumption that turned out to be incorrect. So, scrambled, you know, the NCAA arranges for charter flights for the teams, but you still have to make the arrangements like, hey, we would like to be picked up at Lindbergh Field at so-and-so time. They did. They got on the plane at around 9 a.m., and within 24 hours of finding out where their game was going to be played, they were in Dayton, Ohio, landing in Ohio, heading pretty much straight to the arena for a practice, an open practice, which doesn't do college coaches much good. I mean, the players get to see the sight lines and take some shots in the arena and get comfortable, but you can't work on, like, the game plan because you know who else is at the open practice? The other team's coaches are generally there. Although I did see North Carolina got delayed. They had the closer flight, but they had some travel issues. So they actually arrived after San Diego State. So they're also scrambling to get in and, you know, make it for their Tuesday game as well. Dutch said they will have a walkthrough this morning. Maybe right now they are actually practicing probably in a hotel ballroom and putting in the actual game plan. He said, we have no game plan at this point. Yesterday, less than 24 hours from game time, he went up on the podium and goes, we don't have a game plan yet, but we will put one in the morning, and then we will play the game in the evening. And that's how it works in March. Dutch will, like he always does, and he says this all the time, March is about the players. It's not about the coaches. The players will make plays or they won't make plays, and that will decide the game. And, you know, he's going to trust his guys to go out there. He'll put a game plan in. He'll give them some, you know, tips and a little scouting and a little film to watch on North Carolina. But essentially, he says, you got to go out there and you just got to outplay them. That's how we win, and that's how we advance in the month of March. And he also said that the Aztecs will go as far as Magoon Guath can take them. He says, we will not win without Magoon Guath in March.
It's a lot of pressure.
Just a lot of pressure for a guy who has not played in 3 weeks, is returning, and is expected to be available, you know, hopefully at close to full capacity for this game tonight. But it did give me some pause, how Dutch pretty much said, yeah, we can only win if Magoon plays and plays well.
Jeez.
And he said, and I don't. We'll see. We'll see how quickly he shakes off the rust and gets back into game speed.
Here's a little bit of Dutcher yesterday. Yep.
Magoon is our freshman big. He was freshman of the year in the Mount West Conference, defensive player of the year in the Mount West Conference, and he's been out of action since February 22nd, I believe. So basically 6 games. He got hurt 2 minutes into the Utah State game. So now he practiced full yesterday, limited reps, but full go. And so our intention is to have him on the court tomorrow and see what kind of difference he'll make for the Aztecs.
Mm, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of pressure on him and for a team that just has not been good rebounding. That he's important. He blocks shots. I mean, all their guys quick to the rim. Like, you can't do that when he's there and he's healthy. It's going to be a battle. And for as much as we've talked about UNC and, you know, their quad one record, you know, it's a blue blood program. San Diego State's never beaten them as far as I know.
Two long ago meetings.
Yeah. It's going to be a battle.
This isn't a one versus a 16 or something.
Right.
Like that.
Everyone is, somebody made the point. No one was really happy, unless you're a Tar Heel, that this team got in. In a lot of people's opinions, this was like the last team they should have put in. So everybody in the country is rooting against you. Nobody thinks you can do it. You can actually be a real underdog type, even though you're favored in this game. You kind of get the sense that everyone's rooting for the Aztecs to knock these guys out. And every sports guy, as you know, because we have him, they want to be right. They want to be right all the time. And when guys go on these rants about how they don't belong, bro, that gets in that locker room. They're going to be playing hair on fire, guaranteed, to at least get that first one in, right? So it's going to be a battle for the Aztecs. Man, they got to make buckets, too. They got to make buckets. They got to score. It's been, I think they're 111th in offense right now. That's not going to cut it. It's not going
to
cut it.
They're going to need Miles Byrd to play like Miles Byrd did early in the season. We really haven't seen it in a while.
Couple
of months.
How can we?
Nick Boyd's been really
good. He's been great, but like it's hard to say. You know, we haven't seen that Miles Byrd in so long. Like, hey man, you're gonna need to turn it on.
If he ends the game with 3 points, but just locks down RJ Davis defensively,
I mean, yeah, his value is certainly still there defensively.
Big time.
Arguably, he could have been the defensive player of the year in the Mountain West.
He's a freak.
He's that good defensively.
Dominic makes a great point. The same people that are saying UNC shouldn't be in are also saying that we can't win.
Yeah, they do think that UNC is going to win this game.
Yeah, Ken Pom's got him favored by...
So which is it?
Yeah, right.
Which is it?
So if they don't belong, it's the most egregious thing that's ever happened in college basketball.
Right.
And they're favored by 4, and the line's going up. Somebody needs to pick a side here. You know, I do feel, though, Benny, with the Aztecs, and you know, I've watched a ton of them this season. They're just a very inconsistent young team. And Magoon is totally a game changer. But if he is at, let's say he's at 75%, you know, I mean, is that enough? Is that going to be enough to slow down their offense? We got to make buckets, man. We got to make free throws. It's like I'm sitting here hoping Pharaoh Compton, because they're going to foul the crap out of him. I'm hoping he learned how to shoot a free throw in the last 4 days.
Bro, and I'm watching that Boise State game, they're like, Pharaoh Compton goes to the line. He's a 36% free throw shooter on the season.
He hasn't made one since June. You're like, oh, my God. We were laughing at the broadcast. Hannah goes, wow, they're real mean. I go, babe, but look, he's one for the last 14 or something.
I remember that. And then they go, oh, he's the worst free throw shooter
in
on the floor.
Country.
And then they fouled Miles Heidi, and they realized,
actually,
oh, wait,
no.
he
he's the worst.
Percenter, he's even worse. Yeah,
he's actually worse. You could literally, they were like, you couldn't have two bigger turds shooting free throws than these two guys. We were crying laughing. But hey, man, truth hurts sometimes. So they gotta make their free throws. They need to stay out of foul trouble too, dude. The second half of last week's game against Boise State. Bro, it was like the second half starts and they get all squirrely.
Having Magoon back will certainly have five more fouls that you can absorb because, you know, you're deeper, gives a little more rest to JCJ and Heidi that they can all be a little more aggressive. And by the way, North Carolina has been, I was doing the research on this one, that they've been susceptible to the block shot this year. And the Aztecs have the highest block shot rate in the country. And that's obviously largely because of Magoon Gwath. So having him back in particular for this game, you know, could be a potential difference maker for San Diego State. But he's got to rebound. The Aztecs just can't. I mean, if they rebound like they did against Boise State.
Toast.
They wouldn't beat anybody.
Nope.
I mean, they're not going to beat anybody rebounding like they did in the second half and shooting like they did in the second half. So, you know, it's a moot point. If that Aztecs team shows up, you could have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in his prime out there. It's not going to matter. You need to make some shots in the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
Guess what? They did. A couple years ago, they made some shots.
Yeah, big ones.
It wasn't like that team was making shots all year. Remember,
truth,
they were a 5 seed. They had a really good season, but they weren't. They were inconsistent offensively, like all Aztecs teams.
It was defense. That's what got them
there. And then all of a
sudden,
in the NCAA tournament, they started making some shots.
Yep.
And guess what? They ended up in the Final Four. I'm not saying that's going to happen again, but it can in March. You get Miles Byrd locks in again, like we saw early in the season. And you're a different team, especially if Boyd is playing well, especially if Jarrett Coleman-Jones, he's made some threes lately. It's possible that this team could play well. It's just almost impossible to predict if which team is going to show up for this game or the next game, but hopefully there is a next game.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing too, anytime you're talking about March Madness, the way that the game is officiated is just so important. And are they going to let them play? Are they not going to let them play? Are they going to be tight in the first half? Are they going to be loose in the second half? You never know. You need to kind of take it out of the refs' hands as much as you can, because
no Mountain West refs. At
least. Yeah, that's good. That's actually a really good thing. But it just, it's just one of those things that you have to consider. Anytime March Madness gets here, it's like, oh, boy.
Almost always seems to be in the Aztecs' favor when the referees are swallowing their whistles a little
bit. Yes, 100%.
Because they're letting them play.
They play really aggressive.
The Aztecs play that aggressive defense, and if all of a sudden the referees are going every ticky-tack foul, man, the other team gets into the bonus quickly. It's like, oh, 14 minutes left in the first half, and they are in the bonus the rest of the way. And then San Diego State has to be careful and back off a little bit, and they can't play the defense. So how the referees officiate games tends to matter a lot
big
for
time.
San Diego State. You know, what kind of refs are they going to get? No idea. We'll find out, you know, when the game starts tonight.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm nervous. I want to throw up. I hate it.
It is, you know, unlike, you know, normal NCAA tournament when you've got four games going on at once, only one game. Only everyone that is into college basketball will be watching this one tonight if they get their True TV on at 6:10 against the North Carolina Tar Heels. And, oh, my bet is in with Tier 1 Jordan. And
mine is, too. It's like $30.
That's what I got.
Same here.
$30.
All right.
Well, go ask SDSU. So he's in the hole for like $100 if they lose.
$30 bet. I don't think I've ever made one like that. 30 is just a weird number, I thought.
And he's going to call in tomorrow morning one way or the other.
Okay.
Win or lose. Eat crow or
Celebrate
on our dunk on us if the Aztecs lose. And, you know, it could go either way. I'm certainly not supremely confident in San Diego State, but they can win this game.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, they can win this game. All right, we're going to take time out. When we come back, it is time for Don't Do This. And this time, Don't Do This is literally advice for one of my coworkers.
Wonder which one.
Could be. I don't know.
Probably me.
John Flint down the hall.
Could be.
Could be anybody. JR in the engineering department.
Matt Scraby.
Could be. Scrabinator. Had dinner with our Sam Levitt at Chompies last night.
Our beloved Chompies.
Out there in Peoria, Arizona. We'll get to that coming up after Kelly's check of traffic. Next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do to this.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die. Do set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com. This is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. I will start with a violation of one of the simplest childhood playground rules. No takebacks.
No takebacks.
No takebacks. We had a really bad case of the takebacks in the NIT. You know, the tournament for the 32 top teams that don't make it into the NCAA tournament. It's the consolation prize. I get it. No one's that happy about it, but it's still more basketball, especially. And for some teams, it's actually an accomplishment. Hey, when I remember when the Aztecs got to the NIT, when they hadn't been playing in the NCAA tournament for years.
You take
like,
it,
okay,
man.
Yeah, this is a step forward for our program. And Coach Richie Riley was very happy at South Alabama when the NIT called late Sunday evening and extended an invitation into the field of 32 for his Jaguars. Unfortunately, there was a bit of a snafu.
Oh.
So UC Riverside had been extended an invitation to the NIT, but had already committed to one of the other tournaments, the CBI,
yep,
the College Basketball Invitational, and thought they were going to be unable to get out of that commitment. Well, it turned out that Sunday evening, they were able to get out of their CBI commitment,
called
the NIT and said, okay, we're in. And they said, okay, you're in. And then they had to give South Alabama the bad news. Unfortunately for Coach Richie Riley, he had already told his team. They had accepted the invitation. They celebrated. They were excited about it. And then he had to rip it away. And Riley says, this is unacceptable. You can't do that. There was no other slots in any other tournaments. So their season is now over,
dude,
for South Alabama. They thought they were in the NIT. And then they weren't.
That's a huge blow.
They had a good season. 21-11. Went to the conference tournament semifinals.
I do feel this should be the way that it's handled. If I extend you an invite and you decline because you're going to another tournament, you've already accepted that invite, right? Like, we're going to play in the CBI. We're going to play in the CBI. Well, maybe we can get out of it. Actually, no, you've said no.
It feels
you're out.
Like you've like, got one chance to
you
say
got
yes
one
or
chance
no.
to say yes. And if you say no, even if you can get out of it and wiggle back in, we don't have a spot for you because we extended it to another team. That's tough. That's really tough. Imagine being that coach having to walk back in. Guys, actually, you can pack up your lockers. We're done until next season. That's really rough.
So feel really bad for the South Alabama program. Maybe they'll come back stronger from this next year. But, it was an unfortunate situation.
Man, speaking of unfortunate situations, saw this last night. I don't know that it's really a don't do this, but just more of a hope that everyone's okay.
It's scary.
Well, when it first came out, it was funny because you don't often see superstars vomiting on the side of the court at a basketball game. And that's exactly what happened to Tracy Morgan last night. He's a huge, huge Knicks fan. He was at the game last night, sitting courtside, as he's done a million times. And all of a sudden, there's video circulating of him vomiting profusely on the floor. So the thing with Tracy Morgan is, so you saw it and you went, oh my God, bro, like what happened? You overheated? Like, did you eat some, you know, bad hot dog or whatever? Madison Square Garden rep made sure to indicate it was a bit more serious. They said they would happily host him again, despite the unfortunate scene. We hope Tracy feels better soon. We look forward to seeing him back outside. Eventually, the medical staff came over, put him in a wheelchair, and somebody noticed he was bleeding from his nose.
He had like a Gatorade towel wrapped around his face, and when he like removed it, you could see a lot of blood, like a bloody nose or something.
It was really, really scary. You know, when you see the blood is when it turns really scary. The vomit, you're like, oh, well, somebody had too many beers or a bad hot dog or whatever. But no, he also Tracy Morgan's had some pretty severe health issues. He's a diabetic, number one. He had a kidney transplant in 2010, had significant injuries, almost died in that car wreck in 2014. So I hope he's doing well and is on the road to recovery. And this wasn't anything but, you know, again, maybe something like some bad food or something like that. But it was pretty... The video, I mean, anytime I see somebody vomit, I start to retch.
Yeah.
So watching it kind of made me retch.
So it was scary.
Bit.
I was actually watching that game live, and there was a lengthy delay.
They couldn't find a mop.
They couldn't find a mop, which you definitely needed one for the mess that was made.
Yeah, because the one that they used to wipe up sweat with just the towel wrapped in the thing is not going to work.
That ain't going to fly. It happened near the broadcast tables where the scorers and the broadcasters are, and you can kind of hear them. They're like, there's a delay here, a situation with a fan. They didn't say who it was. They didn't say what was going on. The other guy's like, don't talk about it. You don't have to talk about it. Just don't talk about it. And you're watching, you're like, what the hell is going on?
Wow.
I mean, and then you saw the video.
What are you supposed to say if you're the PA announcer? Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. There is a delay in the game. Tracy Morgan has barfed all over the floor.
Vomited all over the floor.
You can't say that to everybody at the arena.
Jeez.
Ugh.
They didn't need a mop. And then they probably sprinkled that sawdust. Yeah. What was it that when we were kids, when somebody vomited?
Sawdust. It's very absorbent.
And you smell that smell out of it. Yeah. For the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Well, somebody you're like, oh my God, Freddie vomited in the cafeteria day.
From the school janitor. Had
you guys ever vomit at school?
Yeah.
You did?
In my classroom.
No. You did?
Really?
Yeah, did I tell you guys this?
No!
Yeah, I was in third grade.
Oh, dude.
And it was kind of like a quiet time. It was kind of working, but there was a line of maybe five students to talk to the teacher.
Yeah.
And so, sweet, polite, you know, nine-year-old Paul, I got the gurgle. I feel it. It's coming. And I have to ask for a bathroom pass. So I think the respectable thing is to wait in line. Wait your turn.
You go stand there.
So I'm standing behind a line of like four kids. I finally, can I get a bathroom pass? And she's like, yeah. And then as soon as like I turned to walk towards the door, everywhere.
Everywhere. Teacher's dilemma. Because
and
she goes,
Paul, I appreciate you were doing the right thing.
And you're going,
waiting in line, waiting your turn.
Just go.
If it's an emergency, just go. And I'm like, well.
That's tough, because you can't just have kids running willy-nilly to the bathroom whenever they want. You don't want them to throw up all over your floor.
Mm. How about the vomit can? That's the vomit can.
Ugh.
If you have to vomit, go vomit in the vomit can.
Did you have a nickname after
that? Yeah, Pukey Paul for the rest of your life. Paul the Puker. Puker, Puke and Polly. I mean, it's a million of them. You tell I was a bit of a bully. Hey, look who it is. It's Pukey Paul. Yeah. Terrible. No, he called you worse names than that.
Finally, I think there's a do-do this mixed in with all the don't do this from this story.
DD mega do-do.
You know what? I want it to be a lesson for anybody who might be listening, maybe even in this room. This comes from 670 The Score, where host Dan Bernstein has been taken off the air after an incident.
Sister station in Chicago.
Is this an Odyssey station? Okay, so this is our company, Woods. Just keep in mind, this is what happens. So don't do this.
Okay.
And what do be on your best behavior. So Dan Bernstein, the radio host in Chicago, has both been taken off the air and dropped from a local children's cancer charity board.
Whoa.
After threatening to dox a social media follower last week a disagreement related to...
Fishing,
yes. apparently, a listener got mad at Bernstein and accused him of killing a pregnant fish rather than catching and releasing it. You're supposed to release pregnant fish so there'll be more fish in
the... How does one know if fish is pregnant?
Baby belly?
You just know?
Just take a quick pregnancy test.
How do you know?
Fish.
Yeah, and eat the one.
Yeah, I think it's a belly issue.
The belly thing.
When challenged by the follower, Bernstein threatened to release the person's address and phone number and get the person's kids involved.
All right.
Well, that didn't go over well at our company and or at the children's charity,
yeah,
which removed him from the board, took him off the air. Dan Bernstein's had some sort of some history on this. He had a incident with Barstool.
Dave Portnoy.
Dave Portnoy got on his wrong side after he blurted out the last name, I guess, of one of the guys that came on. Not his Barstool name, but his real name.
Yeah. That's right. That's his thing. He likes doxing people.
So, interesting. You know, even if a listener gets under your skin, you really can't go after them on social media. You're not playing from a level playing field here. You've got a larger audience. You can do a lot more damage than the listener can do with their 7 followers.
Well, you know
what I'm saying here, Woods?
Well, let's put it this way. If I ever kill a pregnant fish and you guys come after me, I won't dox you. Okay? Deal. I'll make you that deal right now. I'll write it down. I'll sign it. Michael, you want to print something up? I'll sign it. I will not. Number one, I'm not going to kill a pregnant fish. I would throw it back.
Kyle says the fish was craving ice cream and pickles. That's how you're pregnant. I don't know. And that's sort of don't and don't and really more don't do this on a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Even if someone from Victorville comes after your wife, you really can't. You can't do anything to them on social media because the consequences will blow back on you.
I mean,
is just in general. This is for anyone who has someone from Victorville coming after their wife on social media.
He's not really coming after. He's a big fan of hers, which I can totally relate to. I'm also a big fan of hers. Also, he uses his name. It's Russ from Victorville. It's my guy.
It's true.
Yep.
The famous Russ from Victorville.
Famous.
Maybe the only Russ.
Looks like a human cigarette butt.
I know you've been waiting for this. When we come back, Paulie says maybe the closest round of voting we've ever had.
It can't get closer than one vote separation.
In our tournament of drops as we went from the Sweet 16 down to the Elite 8 in the last 24 hours. We'll reveal the winners and set the matchups to get down to the Final Four when we come back. With Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, we're only a week away from baseball season, and I love playing Prize Picks during baseball season. It is the absolute best way for daily sports. Am I doing the wrong one right now? Oh, I am.
Yeah, you're all right. Keep going.
Sorry.
Keep rolling. Your fun day.
It's my fun day.
Yeah.
And you're both looking at me so quizzically.
Did I make that big of a mistake?
I realized I saw the letter P, and that's all I saw was the letter P, and I thought that was prize.
Well,
picks.
It was P for pronto, so maybe we go to Loan Pronto.
All right, I will hold
Woodsy.
Off. Woodsy.
For the love
go
of
ahead.
God.
Tell everybody about Loan Pronto.
Oh, okay. Hello, homeowners. What could you do with an extra $75,000 right now, even a couple hundred thousand? If you own a home, you can get that money in less than a week with Loan Pronto. Loan Pronto, the leader in quickly converting your home's equity into cold, hard cash. Pay off your credit cards, start that home remodel, pay off your car, all of that. Loan Pronto has several easy options to let you access the cash from your home. Virtually no paperwork, no cumbersome process, no junk fees, oftentimes no appraisal. Average homeowner now has over $300,000 in equity. That is your money. Use it at will. You can get approved in as little as a day. So act now with no hard credit pull up front. LoanPronto.com, 619-207-4336. Get the money that you need for anything at all, 619-207-4336. Or go to LoanPronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
You know, it's just like the NCAA tournament. Some years, it's filled with buzzer beaters, last-second shots, and some years, it's just a bunch of blowouts. And, you know, you fill out the brackets early, and 4 minutes left in the game, you can already write it in Sharpie, as Seth Davis does. It is the 6th annual Ben & Woods Tournament of Drops. We got the field down from 32 to 16 in our first 2 days of voting last week. And then yesterday, we had the Sweet 16 matchups, and over the last 24 hours, you voted to get them down to our Elite 8 best sound bites, funniest drops from the last year. So it's time to unveil the results. Paulie, if you would. All right, let's get into the bracket again, and we'll start in the upper left quadrant, the Bo Woods region, where the Sweet 16 matchup at the top featured the number one overall seed, Lee Hacksaw Hamilton.
You got a problem.
Taking on the number 4 seed, yours truly,
Bootylicious.
And Pauly, what were the results?
This one was not very close.
This better be a blowout.
With 73% of the vote, No surprise here. The number one seed, moving on.
You got a problem.
You got a problem.
All right. We got some chalk at the top. Let's go down to the bottom half of the Bo Woods region, where it was the number three seed. Woodsy.
Oh, God. Oh, yes.
And this one was a tough call because a very strong number two seed, one of Woods' favorite drops.
You're a crumb creep.
Oh, the best, dude.
This one, a little bit closer.
Please tell me I lost.
The winner got 54.7% of the vote, so a little bit closer. And the drop that is moving on is the number two seed.
You're a crumb creep.
Yes. I mean, it's. I like my drop. Nothing is. That is so good. You're a crumb creep.
All right, let's go.
You're a crumb creep.
Down to the Juan Soto region, and we also had a number one seed going up against a five seed in the top. The number one seed there.
I love Paul Skeens.
Oh, strong number one as well against the number five, the Ant-Man.
Brian Gass.
And Paulie, the winner of the 1-5 matchup.
Gentlemen, we have our first, maybe our biggest upset of the tournament so far.
Wow.
By getting 51.7% of the vote. Just nine votes separation.
I didn't see this coming at all.
The number five seed is moving on to the Elite Eight.
Bring Yass.
Bring Yass to the Elite Eight.
Wow. I love Paul out. So a five seed into the Elite Eight. Who will they take on at the bottom of the Juan Soto region? We had a 3-2 matchup. The number three seed, Adams, mess up on our board.
The Padres have slayed the dragon again.
No, they did not. They did not do that. Going up against the number two seed, John Heyman.
Thank you, John.
Can't even believe it.
Tough one as well. And Paulie, results?
Another very, very close vote here. But with 52.4% of the vote, we're going to give this victory to, Adam, the number three seed.
The Padres have slayed the dragon again.
This is his nightmare.
It's moving on.
Oh, my God.
Let's move over to the right side of our bracket, the upper right Kelly Danick region, where we had a number one seed at the top, Ganja, a.k.a. Cannabis. Going up against the number five seed, another bend drop.
One, two, swallow.
And the winner, Paulie.
This one was a landslide. 83.5% of the people that voted chose for what I think is going to go on and win the whole
it's
thing.
It's really
Ganja, a.k.a. cannabis.
It's just, it's perfect. It's funny
it's
by
elite.
Itself. And then when you hear it on the show, it's usually pretty funny
because
Ben's talking about something.
Yeah.
Ganja, a.k.a. cannabis.
All right.
It's the conviction in his voice.
Yes, like, ganja, a.k.a. cannabis.
In case you didn't know
it's
what
just
ganja
meant. Correct.
It's matter of fact, Ben. All right, the highest remaining seed in the tournament, the sixth seed in the Kelly Danick region, still alive.
All right, three, two.
Oh, no.
Catching up with Padres pitcher Michael King. The Padres dugout about to launch.
Morbidly obese.
Heavy breathing during our Michael King interview. Going up against another Woods drop, a very strong number two seed.
Dylan Thief. That one makes me laugh.
And the winner here.
This was literally one vote. It would have been tied down the middle.
Whoa, no way.
But the winner, moving on, is the number two seed.
Dylan Thief.
Oh. Thief survived a scare in the Sweet 15.
Sweet 15, yeah. Fantastic.
All right, and let's go to the bottom right quadrant, the Don Orsillo region, where we have another one seed still alive. Hot Beef going up against Woods.
Oh.
The five seed.
Put your pants back on. That's tough.
His pants back up against Hot Beef. That's
Hot
a tough matchup.
Yeah,
and the winner
was? It was not very tough for the voters. Because with 72% of the vote, the number one seed moving on to the Elite Eight.
Hot Beef!
As it should.
And then in the bottom of the bracket, it was our skipper, the three seed, still alive.
What's up, my dudes? How you doing?
Going up
gets
against
me every time,
the
too.
Bracket's namesake, Don Orsillo, is the number two seed.
Madness!
And our final Sweet 16 winner, Paulie, was?
I thought this one would be a little bit closer, because I do think the Mike Schilt drop does make me laugh every time.
Me too.
What's up, my dudes?
What's up, my dudes?
But no, with a very nice 69% of the vote, the number two seed, Don Orsillo, is moving on to the Elite Eight.
Merrill Madness!
I think that's your dark horse. We've seen Don Orsillo win this tournament before.
We have.
He's got a special place in the hearts of the Tier 1s, apparently, and I am not counting out the two seed in the Orsillo region from making another deep run. So there you have it. The last eight remaining drops in our sixth annual tournament of drops. So it is time now to unveil the matchups for the Elite Eight, the winners. Over the next 24 hours of voting, we'll get into the final four, and we'll go back to the Bow Woods region, where it is a very strong one versus two. I mean,
we have
I don't even know how to vote on this.
Three
one.
Out of the four regions are one versus two.
Woo!
So we have the one seed in the Bow region.
You got a problem.
Going up against the number two.
You're a crumb creep.
Wow. Oh, my God. I can see those two actually getting in an argument.
They, I can as well.
You got a problem. No,
you're a crumb creep.
No, you got a problem.
No, you've got a problem.
And then we move down to the next region.
Not
here.
A one versus two.
No, this is the only one.
This is the upset bracket where it's the number five seed, Ant Edwards.
Bring gas.
Going against the number three seed, Adam's Mistake.
The Padres have slayed the dragon again.
Sorry, Ant Edwards.
We're gonna have an unlikely entrant into the final four in that region for sure.
Five or a three are moving on.
All right, that was the Soto region. Then up in the Kelly Danick region again, another one versus two. We've got the number one
Ganja, aka Cannabis,
Pauly's favorite, going up against the number two
Dylan Thief.
Ooh,
still got to give it to Ben there.
I don't know for sure, Dylan Thief.
Dylan Thief
survives. Can it survive another close matchup?
I think this might be your year, Ben.
This could be your year.
I could have a matchup in the final four, because on that side of the bracket, I'm also the one seed in the Don Orsillo region. Hot beef!
Oh.
But going up against the man himself, the number two,
Merrill Madness!
The hot beef is so much better than that. I just bought my hot beef sweatshirt yesterday. It's brilliant.
So the voting is now open. You can go to our social media channels, click on the link to the Google form, and you'll have the next 22 hours or so to get your votes in to try to decide
usually
the
cap
final
it
four.
Once I get into the studio here so I can prepare for this segment.
Voting has been strong. You guys are turning out at your local ballot boxes. We really appreciate you.
All right, let's check traffic as people get started with their voting. And Woods, I wanted to get your story from this weekend at the Seals game that you never shared yesterday. Penalty box hijinks, apparently.
The best thing that's ever happened in there.
I've been told what happens in the penalty box stays in the penalty box, but you're going to violate,
I guess I'll violate the code
of indoor lacrosse coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. Don't forget to listen at 9 a.m. this morning when we announce another biggest fan. It's our final week, your chance to qualify for a night in our Odyssey suite at a future Padres game. Get your name in if you haven't yet at 97.3thefansd.com/biggestfan in order to potentially have your name called during our show, during Braden's show and the Gwynn and Chris show. And remember, they're out in Peoria, Arizona. We got some sound. They did a bunch of interviews yesterday. I'd love to play a little bit of Gavin Sheets.
Yeah.
He's one of the guys we didn't talk to and they were able to catch up with, who's definitely trending toward making the roster.
Well,
so
when we were there, Gavin Sheets had done, I think he hit one home run and I didn't even see him.
And they asked him about that slow start. Like, did you feel like, I'm in trouble here? But now all of a sudden he's like leading the Cactus League in home runs and trending toward making the team. So we can get to that. First, though, I wanted to hear
the
story yesterday.
We
never got to it. So what happened? Seals had a record game, 20 goals, two sock tricks, which is six goals from two different players. But it also was a chippy game, you said. You were texting me during the game. Oh, there's a big fight right here going on. I mean, this was a chippy game against the Desert Dogs of Las Vegas.
You know, and it's funny. There's been some good fights, some tilts in the NLL this year. And those are the things that make the national headlines, really. I mean, they had them on, like, ESPN's Top 10 the other day. But one of our guys, our rookie, Trent DeChico, got under the skin of one of our former players, Casey Jackson, who I adore. He plays for Las Vegas now. And Casey's not a real fiery dude. But DeChico went kind of up right here, Benny, right to the chin with the stick. Cut him a little bit, so there's a little blood on his jersey. Put them both in the box. And as they are walking to the box, they are jawing the entire time. And, of course, I'm right there in the middle. And these dudes, they did not stop, Ben. The penalty's 2 minutes. They did not stop screaming at each other for 2 minutes. And it was when, so here's Casey on this side, cheeks on my left. Casey from the right. You are nobody. You are ugly. I will kill you. I'm going to beat your effing ass. I will effing kill you. Did she go, oh, you're a real hero. Look at you, real hero. Casey, nobody even knows you in this league. You're a nobody. And then did she go, yeah, nobody knows you either. You're burned out. You're a washout. I'm going to see you. Where do you live? You live where? Victoria? I'm going to find you downtown. I'm going to beat the ass out of you.
Oh my God.
2 minutes. I was laughing. So I'm right in the middle like this. I legit, and we had a guy.
I just find it so amazing that you're down there.
Right in the middle.
You're right in the middle of it.
Benny. It not, the funny thing is like, I love Casey Jackson. He's one of my favorite SEALs we've ever had. If he comes over the thing at him, I don't know who to protect. And I love Cheeks, too, but I'm like, this is... So finally, they let Cheeks out of the box. Casey actually had a longer penalty. So when it was over, I looked at, I go, hey, you good? I go, I've never seen you that worked up ever. He's like, F that dude. I'm going to find him. I'm going to beat his ass. I'm going to break his nose. I was like, so it was, we fought. We had at one time, we had 8 people in the penalty box. So I'm like.
Is there enough room for 8?
The answer is unequivocally no, there is not. And there was one guy standing, 3 guys sitting on the bench over here. 3 guys sitting on the bench, 1 guy standing. There's the guy, my boy LL, that does the clock. There's me. There's our producer. And then each box has a minder, right? Like to give them their water, their towels. For 18 people down there for, at one point, it was like 9 minutes. I mean, it was like major penalties. I get a little bit claustrophobic.
And you know, auxiliary penalty.
Yes. I almost vomited a few weeks ago because it was hot and I was getting kind of anxious. I had to talk myself down from the ledge, man. I was sitting in there going, if there was a trap door here where I could pull it and just shoot down to the bottom, I would have pulled it.
Because they're all hot and sweaty.
Oh, they stink.
Like,
and they're so mad. They're screaming at each other. Bro, it was, I got to say, it was the most entertaining SEALs game I've worked. It was 20-11 was the final. It was never close. I mean, it was never, ever close. We put the wood to those guys that day. But to have these dudes, they didn't stop. And then DeChico ended up getting in a fight later in the game, full scale, gloves off, helmets off, beat the crap out of this dude from Vegas. It was everything you could have dreamed of. It was goals. It was fights. It was trash talk. It's just part of it. It's all the reasons that I love that league, and it's so much fun, man. If you haven't been out to a game, we're not back for a while, man. It's like April 18th.
Getting near the end of the season.
Yeah,
right?
One more home game, and we'll be on the road 4 weeks in a row.
Now are you going to make the playoffs? What's the situation? Because I know they were under 500, but they won a couple now. So.
Yeah, they're in good shape right now, but you got to win on the road. They got 4 games on the road, and the travel is excruciating for these guys, but it should be, we should be there at the end, I think.
All right, if you missed it this morning, the MLB season is underway. The LA Dodgers are 1-0. They beat the Chicago Cubs 4-1 at the Tokyo Dome. Yoshinobu Yamamoto was solid. Shota Imanaga was outstanding. 4 no-hit innings, I think, but they pulled him on a pitch count, and then the Dodgers scored 3 times in the 5th inning and then went on to the 4-1 win. But they did so, if you missed it, without Mookie Betts, who they knew they weren't going to have because of the illness. They actually sent him home to Los Angeles, but also without Freddie Freeman, who was expected to play, was warming up for the game, and then something happened during batting practice.
A rib.
Some sort of rib injury. So they didn't have Mookie Betts or Freddie Freeman for the game. Didn't matter with the pitching, with the bullpen that they've got. Tanner Scott, former Padre, came in, got his first save for the Dodgers, pitching the 9th inning in that one to lock down the 4-1 win. But there was something that I didn't realize got under my skin a little bit about the game. And it's one of the little things that they do for the Dodgers that I don't feel like the rest of baseball gets afforded. And I
the
just assume,
advertisement for Guggenheim well, that, behind them yes. the entire game.
The fact that Shohei Ohtani's face is all over the entire country of Japan. I can't see enough of that all over the place. Thanks for that on my Twitter feed. No, this I assumed, my bad, that like last year when the Padres and Dodgers played in Korea, that one game would be a home game for the Dodgers and one game would be a home game for the Cubs, like it was last year. That's fair. You give up one home game each. They didn't make the Dodgers give up any home games. They're both Cubs home games. The Dodgers are the road team for both of these games, so they still get all 81 of their home games in L.A., and the Cubs just have to eat it, and they get two fewer home games when they come back and have to play two extra road games on their season. Why on earth did Major League Baseball let them do that and not split the two games?
You know why. This shouldn't surprise you even a little.
How is that not blatant favoritism?
It is.
It's blatant favoritism.
And Major League Baseball would say, yep, you're right. You got us. Like,
is this like a payoff?
Sue us.
Hey, we made you go to Korea last year, so we're not going to make you give up any home games this year for going two in a row.
Potentially.
Is that the rationale behind it?
If I were the Dodgers, I would have absolutely said, yeah, man, we just went to Korea last year. I know that we're raiding the entire country of its superstars. They all want to play here. So we don't want to give up home games. And I'm sure to get them there, they said, yeah, okay, no problem. And the Cubs, I mean, Cubs have Japanese superstars as well on their team, but not to that extent. So
Dodgers go, hey, we leave the league in attendance. You want to take away all of our 50,000?
Yeah. Well, they need the money, man. You know, they're going to need them. They need those attendance.
Pay off all their salaries, no doubt about it. So anyway, Dodgers 1-0, Cubs 0-1. They'll play again at 3 in the morning and then back for the regular season next week. I've got a story from my lunch yesterday.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Next here on The Fan.